Austin, Texas, it's Dave and Ike.
It's Wednesday, October the 25th, 2017. A very significant date if you are aware of Red October, the October Revolution in Russia. And we're going to have Alexander Dugin joining us today. He's a very influential member of the press and a lot of political connections in Russia. He is listened to by those in power, Vladimir Putin and others. And we're going to have him talk to us about life in Russia under the Leninists, as well as what it's like today under Putin. We're also going to have Lionel joining us in the show. And there's some big news today as the masks that are coming off of the people in Washington, the establishment, even before Halloween. We're starting to see some major revelations happening with the DNC, with Hillary Clinton, with the dirty dossier. It seems like every day we're learning getting some new documents about what we've really been talking about and really knew all along. And that is the way that Hillary Clinton is projecting her corruption. You want to talk about corrupt oligarchs and so forth in Russia and other places? I mean, the whole situation with Hillary Clinton and this Uranium One is a situation where people know that if you want to do business in America, you can go to the Clintons and they'll sell you anything. And they'll sell it to anyone if the price is right. She wasn't some virginal, altruistic individual who was corrupted by foreign powers. No, they were shopping it around to everybody. The Russians, the Chinese, you name it. They were available. They were making money. And this was something that had been going on for decades. Everybody outside of America who has any power, who has any knowledge of how this system works, understands that the Clintons, and I would say the Bushes and the Obamas and everybody else, basically, we are a banana republic with nuclear weapons. Let's understand that, folks. We may have some idealistic ideas and attachments to our country based on its foundations, but if we take a clear-headed look at where we are today, you have to understand that the swamp really is a banana republic. And people who wanted things, whether they are corporations or whether they're politicians from foreign countries, they know how to get it. You go to certain people like the Clintons or the Podestas, and you can buy it for the right price. And so now what we see is that the establishment is trying to, as these things are starting to be uncovered, they are coming up. It looks like they're going to throw maybe Hillary under the bus as a sacrificial lamb. And as entertaining as that will be to see, we need to understand that they are not the kingpins even in this operation, and that it's not going to stop by removing Hillary Clinton. That's a very important first step to show that we're going to start to reestablish the rule of law in this country. But it isn't going to end there, and that's not going to solve our problems with just one corrupt politician. It is a systemic problem that must be solved. And to give you an idea of kind of how dangerous it is to do things in Washington, there was a story on CNN about Scott Pruitt, and they were complaining about the fact that he has had a step up in security detail. He now has to have 24/7 protection. Why? Because he's really doing things in Washington. Most of the people in the Trump administration are trying to protect the status quo, or they're trying to roll back what President Trump has done. They're trying to get us back into the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or they're trying to get us back into the Paris Climate Agreement. But Scott Pruitt has really done some unrolling, some real unraveling and reform of the bureaucracy there. Just with the Clean Power Act alone, he has saved us over $30 billion. And so when you start doing that, when that kind of money is involved, people are going to try to kill you. And so if you're not required to have 24/7 security to protect you, you're really not doing your job in that corrupt town. Stay with us. I'm David Knight. It's going to be an interesting look at corruption and the changing of the guard in the District of Criminals. We'll be right back.
Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
It's October the 25th, 2017, Wednesday. We've had some amazing developments in Russiagate. We're finding out who the real criminals are. We've told you this all along. We knew that Hillary Clinton was projecting her crimes onto Donald Trump. We knew that they were accusing others of things that they had done so that they could cover up their crimes. And the crimes are deep and broad. They are bipartisan. It involves the establishment and both the Republicans and the Democrats. And we're now finding out their involvement is getting documented. What we've been telling you and observing is now being documented. And that's the key thing. We've got outlets, establishment outlets like the Washington Post now, breaking information about Hillary and the DNC's connection to the dirty dossier. This is big, folks. It looks like the worm has turned on the people in Washington, D.C. And so we're going to be following that. We're also going to be, because this is October 25th, 2017, and it's the 100th anniversary of Red October, we're going to be talking to Alexander Dugin. He is the chief editor at Tsargrad TV in Russia, and he has a lot of political connections there, a lot of political influence. We're going to talk to him about life in Russia today versus life in Russia under Lenin, under Stalin, and under others. And we're also going to have as a guest Lionel today. But let's talk about the news real quickly before we get into the unmasking of Hillary Clinton and other people who are part of the GOP establishment on the run, like Jeff Flake. Some interesting stuff happening on the Republican side as well. It's not just that Hillary and the DNC are being exposed by the Washington Post. I mean, this is a record day, folks. When the Washington Post exposes the DNC and Hillary Clinton, you know something is up. Something has really fundamentally changed in Washington. But let's take a look at how some of these things have changed. As I was saying in the last segment, you know you're doing a good job in Washington when they want to kill you. You know, I was just watching with my family a program about Bernie Madoff. And one of the guys who, the guy actually who discovered the fraud and was trying to get people interested in it. He couldn't get people at the Wall Street Journal or the SEC to understand what was going on, or if they did understand, they didn't want to do anything about it. And so he was taking this around saying, you know, hey, look at this, look at this. It's kind of like what we do here at InfoWars. Like, you see this? Oh, come on. I don't understand that. I don't believe it or whatever. That couldn't be possible. I mean, this guy, Bernie Madoff, you know, he's the chair of NASDAQ. I mean, this guy is a genius, and he's politically connected, and we're not going to go anywhere near that. And after a while, it broke. But one of the things that the guy who was exposing this said was that he said, this is very dangerous. He goes, there are tens of billions of dollars here in this Madoff scandal, and I'm kind of frightened that somebody's going to try to kill me for exposing this. And, you know, when we look at what Scott Pruitt is doing, and I would say, in my opinion, he is the very best person that Donald Trump has brought to Washington, Scott Pruitt at the EPA. He is doing such a good job that he's having to hire 24/7 security. No director of the EPA has ever had to do that before. But just with the Clean Power Act that he shut down, that is more than $30 billion worth of money saved to the American taxpayer. Cutting bureaucracy, cutting regulation, cutting unnecessary expenses, and cutting the power of the people in Washington, that'll get you killed. That'll get you killed. This is a corrupt banana republic, and there's a lot of money involved. And the Hillary Clintons and the George Bushes of this world are exhibits A and B. And I'm talking about both of the Georges. And we've got a little story here about George H.W. Bush as well. But as CNN reports, and I think it's an interesting tack that they took on this, they were complaining about the potential waste or abuse of taxpayer dollars for protecting Scott Pruitt. The EPA is beefing up security measures surrounding Administrator Scott Pruitt to an unprecedented level. And they're saying salaries alone for the full team will cost at least $2 million per year. And I just pointed out in just one incident alone, he saved more than $30 billion. That's 30,000 times. Well, it's $2 million, so that would be 15,000 times what it would cost the taxpayers to protect somebody who would actually cut Washington power and the theft in Washington of our freedom of our energy, of our money. Yeah, that'll get you killed. And so he is worth every penny of the 24/7 security. And they say he's getting a lot of death threats. I bet he is. I bet he is. Meanwhile, we see some evidence coming out about Obama's HUD. They misplaced $500 billion. And the headline here from Conservative Tribune says that Enron was only $63 billion. And Bernie Madoff, of course, they didn't talk about him. He was $65 billion. But they just misplaced $500 billion at HUD. You know, we talk about Madoff, it was a Ponzi scheme, of course, right? The biggest one we've ever seen. But nobody runs a Ponzi scheme like the federal government. And that one is called Social Security. It is a Ponzi scheme. It's funded by bringing more people in. And they think that as this thing is reaching the end of the line, it's one of the things that they were talking about, trying to sell it to people in Washington back in 2000, trying to sell the open borders, trying to sell the people replacement. They were saying, hey, you know, we've got this problem with Social Security. They basically admitted it was a Ponzi scheme. And they said the only way we're going to solve this, because we have a declining birth rate, is that, and of course, we all know the reasons for that. It's not simply that people have made the decision that we would like to work later. We would like, you know, women would like to have careers and work well into, you know, that's a contributing factor. But we also know that there are physiological factors that have to do with the crap that they put in our food and water that have taken down our fertility. So, it is something that they engineered and they say, oh, look at this. Why, looky here. We got a declining birth rate. We got declining sperm count, declining sperm mobility. We're kind of poisoning these people with soft kill. So to keep them pacified, what we're going to have to do is replace them with people from other parts of the world and other cultures and other legal systems, other religions. So bring that in. That was back in 2000. And that's the way they were going to keep that Ponzi scheme, Social Security, going. That was the basis for them to sell this to politicians in Washington and the basis for which they could try to sell it to their constituents. We know there were other factors involved. But meanwhile, we take a look at just the gross, let's call it incompetence. Let's be charitable, and let's say that it was waste and not fraud. And what they found out, they said that, if you go back and you look at Enron and how the liberal media used it to attack capitalism in general, how they used it to attack energy companies in particular. But as of this last March, there was released a report. And here we are. This is October, right? So here we are 7 months later. Have you heard anything about it? No. Quite frankly, I didn't know about it. I'm glad they found this. But this is something that the press has not been interested in talking about, of course, right? The release of an astonishing report from the Office of Inspector General regarding HUD's loss in terms of accounting. They say the report revealed that an audit of HUD's 2015 and 2016 consolidated financial statements were riddled with so many, quote, pervasive material errors, unquote, as to be totally unacceptable. And these errors totaled $520 billion. Just a round-off error, right? No, they're not keeping records. When you don't keep records of $520 billion, this is like going back to the Pentagon situation just prior to 9/11, all the missing trillions of dollars there. And, I mentioned this once before. We're in a shop here in Texas, my wife and I, and I won't mention where it was because I would like to go back and talk to the lady someday and get it on record. She was totally compartmentalized, totally disconnected from politics after she retired from Washington. But she just started, I was just kind of hanging out, and there's nobody else in the shop, so she started talking about her career and how they wound up there. And she was investigating fraud, and she said, yeah, we found so much fraud in the Pentagon that we had politicians who were not running for re-election. Yeah, and we've had some that have now bowed out in Washington very prominently today. But she said they just quietly were given the offer to not run for re-election instead of going to jail. And she said, you know, it was lucky. I got out of there just a couple of months before it got hit on 9/11. It's like, yeah, I know. You ever hear of InfoWars? And she'd never heard of InfoWars. So I'm David Knight, and this is InfoWars, and we do expose that. We'll be right back with more information. Things are changing fast, aren't they? We've seen a lot of people coming out of the woodwork to talk about Harvey Weinstein. It's blood in the water. People realize finally that it is safe to talk about this powerful predator. And now the powerful predators in Washington, because they're far more powerful. And Harvey Weinstein was important not because of the power that he wielded in Hollywood, but because he parlayed that into power in Washington, D.C. The predators are always about the power, but it's always about politics. That's where you're going to find the worst predators. And now that shoe is going to drop. We've had people talking about what's going on in the EU, and we got a lot of people that are going to be exposing what's going on in Washington. Here's the first example here. And this is, you might look at this and say, well, this is kind of minor, but it's the beginning, folks. This is the beginning. Former U.S. President George H.W. Bush apologizes after an actress claims that he sexually assaulted her from his wheelchair. In this photograph, with his wife, Barbara, standing by his side. Okay. So what were they doing? She's the actress Heather Lynn. She was there to promote the historical series from AMC called Turn, Washington Spies. And let me just pause here a second. Tell you that if you have not seen this series, if you're interested in politics or history, or even if you just want a good entertainment night with your family, whatever, this is a great series, folks. It shows Revolutionary War from the perspective of people who were spies for George Washington. And it was a 4-season run. It went through the Revolutionary War, touched on a lot of historical figures, and it'll get you asking questions. It'll get you digging to see how close it is to history. It's a great thing to a great history class. I don't remember the content in it now because it's been a while since I watched it. You can look on IMDb and see if there's anything in there that you would object to watching with your family. But apart from those types of issues that you can skip over, the central part of it is something that would be a great way to talk about history to your family, to your kids. We homeschool, so we like to look at things that are going to be thought-provoking, that are going to get them to think and to examine what they're told. But it's a great series. There's very few movies or anything coming out of Hollywood that's about the American Revolution. This one is really good. Nevertheless, she's there to meet George H.W. Bush 4 years ago to promote the TV show. She says, he sexually assaulted me while I was posing for this photo or similar photo. He didn't shake my hand. He touched me from behind, from his wheelchair, with his wife Barbara Bush by his side, and he told me a dirty joke. Now, he says that he apologized. He said he would never under any circumstances intentionally cause anyone distress, and he sincerely apologizes if his attempt at humor offended Ms. Lynn. All right, well, let's understand. Let's put this in context here, okay? This is not a dirty joke. This is not a pat on the bottom for an actress. This is a guy who was involved in Iran-Contra. This is a guy who had no problem with the things that were done at the CIA, who had no problem creating a crack cocaine epidemic to fund an illegal war. Let's understand where this is coming from. Let's understand the suffering that was caused by the crack cocaine epidemic for their dirty little secret war. And this is a guy who has been accused by Senator John DeCamp and others of the Franklin cover-up. Look that up. There's a story about child abuse. There's a story about Satanism and child sacrifice, not just pedophilia. And it's something, and murder, okay? Child abuse, murder, Satanism. And it stretches from Nebraska to the George H.W. Bush White House. We're not talking about a dirty little joke and a pat on the bottom to an actress. This is the kind of stuff that is going to take down Washington. And let me tell you, there is plenty of this stuff floating around Washington, and it's going to come out. It's starting to come out now. They really have turned on Hillary Clinton. That's what I'm going to go to right now. But first, I want to tell you about what funds this operation. It's the things that we sell directly to you to help you with your health. And so we have some new sales that are beginning at InfoWarsStore.com. We have Silver Bullet and Winter Sun, our vitamin D3. Silver Bullet is our colloidal silver. Both of those are now 50% off. These are our favorites, and quite frankly, both of those are things that I use extensively during winter season because you don't get as much sun. And many people, there was an article just the other day about how many people have vitamin D deficiencies because they don't get outside in the sunlight. We're all kind of like latchkey kids now in America. We just kind of sit inside and we stare at our phones or we stare at the television, or we read articles off of the internet, and we don't get any sunlight. And that helps to create a vitamin D deficiency. We called it winter sun because it used to be when people had a life outside of our electronic gadgets that you would get more likely to get colds and other things like that over the winter because you were less likely to get sun, much of it, or very strong sun. So vitamin D is an important supplement to help you fight that. Also, colloidal silver is as well. So both of those right now, 50% off. We're coming up into cold season. Great time to stock up and prepare for that. We still have, for a limited time, Brain Force Plus, 50% off. And we also have Super Male Vitality, 30% off, and Anthroplex, 50% off. And you can also get an additional 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink mix at checkout when you enter the code VITA10. That's VITA10 to get 10% off our Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink mix. It's a great tasting way to drink your supplements, to get your essential vitamins and minerals each day. And you can do that as a drink mix. It tastes great. And, of course, you can make it taste like anything you want by putting that in there. Get 10% off with the code VITA10. All right, let's talk about the unmasking of Hillary Clinton and the establishment, even before Halloween, even before we have all the memes about Hillary Clinton, the witch. And there's been many of those over the past few years, hasn't it? So appropriate. But just put this in perspective. This article from Gateway Pundit, since inauguration, CNN has mentioned Russia over 16,000 times, according to Project Veritas, but CNN has only spent 4 minutes on the Clinton Uranium One scandal. How's that? 16,000 times, Russia, 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 Russia. And we're going to have Alexander Dugin from Tsargrad TV joining us in the next hour. Meanwhile, they don't talk at all about the Clinton Uranium One scandal. As a matter of fact, they talk about it. They say from October the 17th through October the 24th, and this yesterday, CNN's reporters and anchors only mentioned the scandal twice. First on October the 19th, after President Trump scolded reporters for failing to cover it, anchor Wolf Blitzer offered a 19-second explanation of what Trump was talking about. Now, for those of you watching CNN and MSNBC and you've never heard of Uranium One, here's what he's talking about. Wolf Blitzer also interviewed Jake Sullivan for just a little over 3 minutes. And he claimed that Trump's charge of corruption against the Clintons had no basis in fact, quote unquote. Surprisingly, Blitzer pushed back a little and brought up the Clinton Foundation that received hundreds of thousands of dollars while Bill Clinton was traveling to Russia to give speeches and collect enormous fees. But then, as they report in the Gateway Pundit, CNN hack Dana Bash brushed it off. It's simply a conservative conspiracy theory. What we know is that the president tweeted about it. Sean Hannity, Fox News, the conservative media from Breitbart to talk radio, they've been aggressively pushing this story of corruption. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And the details are coming out now. But she said, mainstream media is ignoring it. We don't think it's important. And we admit that we're ignoring it because they were going to cover. But that's changed. The Washington Post is now talking about Hillary Clinton and the DNC being the funders of the dirty dossier. We'll have that for you right after the break. Stay with us. I'm David Knight.
Information warfare against pushers of fake news. You're listening to Real News with David Knight.
Let's get into the information warfare because in the last 24 hours, we've had some major developments, as I said at the top of the hour. It's not even Halloween, and these witches and goblins in Washington, D.C. are pulling off their own masks. We had Hillary Clinton unmasked by the Washington Post. We had Jeff Flake unmask himself. And what we see with Jeff Flake and with Bob Corker are bitter losers just like Hillary Clinton. And I would say bitter losers of the establishment because that's what all of them are. And as we look at this exposure that has just happened last night by the Washington Post, the exposure of Hillary Clinton and the DNC for being behind this dirty dossier, dirty political tricks, and I'm talking about dirty. We're going to talk about the evolution of this thing. The fact that it began with the establishment Republicans, and it was about business dealings. Then it goes to the Democrats, and they make it about dirty, perverted sex. Then, after they lose the election, it's picked up again by the other part of the establishment, the Republican establishment, Senator McCain. He grabs it, shops it around Washington, gives it to FBI Director Comey. See, that's the way this whole thing starts. That's the way this has progressed. And it shows the character of these criminals. And it shows how desperate they are as they're losing. These are rats jumping off of a sinking ship. It was just 2 days ago that Hillary Clinton pushed back on reports about her involvement and her corruption, working with corrupt individuals who were being investigated for bribery, for fraud, for money laundering, and then giving them preferential treatment and pushing all of the legal obstacles out of the way so that the Russians could buy 20% of our uranium supply. That was just 2 days ago. And she was saying, all of that information, that's just baloney. That was Monday. That was Hillary Clinton saying that on Monday. She said, renewed focus on Russian uranium deals, says the Hill, during her tenure is no more than debunked baloney. Well, you know what? Here we are 2 days later, and we're finding out that Hillary Clinton herself is now debunked baloney. She said, I think the real story is how nervous they are about these continuing investigations. Yes, yes. She projects all the time. She accuses other people of what she herself does. This is what she had to say, and this is precisely what Hillary Clinton has been doing. She said, Trump and his allies, including Fox News, are really experts at distraction and diversion. Now, the truth is that Hillary and CNN and their allies are experts at distraction and diversion. See, she's the real expert. She's been doing this for decades. And we've got the documents to prove it. Remember what we saw from WikiLeaks, how they colluded with the Democrats, how they worked with them, worked with Hillary Clinton specifically, giving her the answers or the questions for debates. I mean, they didn't give her any answers. They knew what the questions were going to be, and they passed that along to her. Donna Brazile, who was a reporter there, and then they brought her out, put her in the DNC hierarchy again. I mean, this is just, you can't make this stuff up, folks, except Hillary Clinton can. And so all the stuff that she does, all the collusion with CNN and the mainstream media, the fact that they cover for her, the fact that they lie for her, she projects that onto Trump. And she says, no, it's just a distraction and diversion. The whole phony narrative about Russia began with an effort to divert attention away from what she was doing in the primaries against Bernie Sanders. That information was leaked by individuals inside the DNC, and she wanted to focus attention on the messenger and not the message. And she didn't want the messenger to be somebody internal to the DNC, because that would basically, that's the message. You know, if you said, well, this is somebody who leaked this information, then you say, well, why would somebody within the Democrat Party, somebody within the DNC, why would they leak damaging information about Hillary Clinton, about how upset they are about the corruption inside that organization? So it had to be somebody outside of the DNC. It couldn't be an inside whistleblower. So it had to be somebody external. Let's go with the Russians. And that's what she's been doing ever since. But it also serves the advantage of all of those, Republican and Democrat, who want to revive the Cold War. The military establishment wants a Cold War. The military-industrial complex made a lot of money after the Cold War ended by starting up the War on Terror. But it's nothing. All of this, all these weapons and equipment and surveillance stuff that they're buying, that's nothing compared to the big bombers, the strategic bombers and the intercontinental ballistic missiles and the navies that you can justify if you got a Cold War. So they wanted that Cold War. They didn't want to give up the war, the surveillance state war. They didn't want to give up the Big Brother aspects of all of this and the internal police state. They didn't want to give that up. That's a nice profit center. They're going to keep that. But that's small potatoes compared to what they can make with a Cold War. So they want that Cold War. That's why they're keeping this Russian narrative going. But let's take a look at this amazing development in the last couple of days. We've got Washington Post now exposing Hillary Clinton. And as you have on this article on InfoWars, and it's something that's picked up by the Drudge Report, elites move to sacrifice Clintons just like they did Weinstein. And as Kit Daniels points out, the globalists in control of mass media are fixing to dump the Clintons much like they did Harvey Weinstein, albeit they did it for him for sexual improprieties instead of for political scandal. And he points that to an article from The Hill, which has typically been totally in the tank for the establishment, especially the Democrats. And now The Hill, they've hired one of the reporters that used to be at Circa. And he is now doing exposés on Hillary Clinton. And this is why there's more than enough smoke for the FBI to investigate official government favors in exchange for big donations to the Clinton Foundation. But FBI agents ran into a hyper-politicized attorney general in Loretta Lynch, whose public integrity section, how's that for irony? Her public integrity section shut down investigations of corruption for Hillary Clinton. Said it didn't have enough evidence to move forward. And that's quoting the Washington Post, okay, back in October 2016. Now, the Washington Post is talking about Hillary and the DNC funding the Trump-Russia dirty dossier. Say the controversial, infamous Trump-Russia dossier that alleges President Trump is little more than a Kremlin puppet was in part funded by Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the DNC, reports the Washington Post. Now, I'm reading a summary of this from Sputnik News, but the story came from the Washington Post. The dossier was compiled by the research firm Fusion GPS, that we're hearing quite a lot about lately. They finally went to testify in a congressional hearing. You know, we have people like Roger Stone, when they accuse him of being a Russian agent, he goes, please let me answer these charges in public. See, that's what we have under the Constitution. We have the presumption of innocence, and we say you can confront your accusers and so forth. And yet today what we have is, in a political environment, people are tried in the court of public opinion, and they don't get a chance to respond to those charges. And so all these political Democrats are coming after Roger Stone saying, you're a Russian agent. You're a Russian. No, I want to defend myself and answer those charges in public. And they didn't do that. They did allow him, after he begged for it, to talk to a Senate committee or House committee. I can't remember which it was that he talked to. But they would not let it be public. They would not let it be filmed either. And so you've got, on the other side, you got Fusion GPS Partners, the two guys running the organization. They finally went to Capitol Hill, and every question they were asked, they pled the Fifth Amendment. And now we're starting to get some answers as to why. The dossier was compiled by that firm, Fusion GPS, that will continually take the Fifth Amendment. It was originally commissioned by unknown right-wing sources. See, it starts with Republicans. And they did that while Trump was running in the primaries. They thought they could shut him down. And they were originally coming after it in terms of trying to show something about his business dealings. Okay, after he won the nomination, the right-wing funders of the dossier backed out. And then Clinton and the DNC stepped in, and they took it from a situation of looking at his business dealings to coming up with some perverted sexual fantasy. Because, of course, they're Democrats. Maybe they consulted with Bill Clinton. How could we make this look really dirty? I'll tell you what you could do. All right, stay with us. We're going to get deeper into this. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're going to take a look at the details of what has been exposed by the Washington Post against Hillary Clinton, and also the involvement of key Republican figures. This comes on a day when we've had Jeff Flake flake out on us. He is not going to be in Washington anymore, this bitter loser who cannot get elected. He sees the handwriting on the wall. He's been weighed in the balance and found wanting. That's the translation of the handwriting on the wall. Same as Bob Corker. So one of them has come uncorked, as a Drudge Report put in there, and the other one has flaked out on us, and we're going to play some of what they had to say. Put that in context, but first we're going to take a look at Hillary Clinton and the DNC as exposed by the Washington Post. Never thought you'd see the day, did you? Something is changing in Washington. They're going to try to put her out there as a sacrificial lamb. That's the story we have up at Infowars.com. It's linked by Drudge. They're going to try to do damage control by cutting her off because she's not the head of the snake. She's a very important part of the snake. She's been part of the snake for a very long time, but she's not the only one that they've got. We're talking about Hydra here, okay? Got a lot of different heads. And so she's just one of the heads of Hydra, and they're hoping they can cut that one off and stop the damage. Before we get back to Hillary, real quickly, some of the things that we have on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. We have new sale of Silver Bullet, our colloidal silver, as well as Winter Sun, our vitamin D supplement. Both of those are now 50% off. We also have 50% off Anthroplex, 30% off Super Male Vitality, and for a very short time, Brain Force Plus, still 50% off. That's going to be coming off pretty soon because if we don't, we're going to run out of stock for the people who are on auto ship. And by the way, if you're not on auto ship, you can pick the products that you won't always get, and you'll always get 10% off. You select the products, you select the interval that you want them shipped, and if your total order is more than $50, you'll also get free shipping. And finally, when you check out, you can get 10% off of Vitamin Mineral Fusion at checkout when you enter the code VITA10. That's VITA10. It's a great drink mix that allows you to get all of your essential vitamins and minerals and a great tasting drink mix. You can make it, of course, taste any way you want, and you don't have to swallow a lot of pills. It's a great way to do it, and you can get 10% off right now at checkout when you enter the code VITA10. Let's go back to the exposure of Hillary Clinton by the Washington Post. And as they pointed out, it was originally commissioned, this dirty dossier, was originally commissioned to try to smear Trump about business dealings. That's the way the conservatives did it, the never Trump Republican establishment. They wanted to come after him on business dealings because that's where their mind is, okay? Where's the mind of the Democrats? That was during the primaries. After he became the nominee, they dropped it. And then Hillary Clinton and the DNC, how did they know that the establishment Republicans had some kind of dossier that was being created by Fusion GPS? Isn't that interesting? So it's common knowledge with both sides of the establishment that they're putting together this dossier on President Trump, trying to smear him. So the Democrats don't want to do it with business dealings. They want to do it with perverted sex. So who are you going to call to get something to put in your fictional dossier, your dirty dossier? Bill Clinton might be the guy to call, right? He can come up with some perverted fantasies. He didn't even have to call his friend Phil Epstein for this. He's got that covered. So it turns over to the DNC and Hillary Clinton, which, by the way, they're one and the same thing, weren't they? As we saw with the leaks that came out, that's where they started blaming the Russians initially with that. So they turn it over, and now the Washington Post is naming names. They say it was Washington lawyer Mark Elias and his law firm, Perkins Coie, I think is the way you pronounce that, C-O-I-E. They say the newspaper's anonymous sources said the two organizations, that's Hillary Clinton and the Clinton campaign, shared the cost, but they would not provide a specific dollar sum. But we do get a dollar sum from Perkins Coie. They reported that the Clinton campaign paid them $5.6 million. So we don't know how much of that was for the dirty dossier. The DNC, meanwhile, paid them $3.6 million. So we got $9.2 million. It was paid between these two organizations to a law firm that was then taking some of that money and buying a fictitious dirty dossier from Fusion GPS. And it's interesting because a New York Times reporter wants to come out and say, yeah, you know, I knew about this. I started investigating it. And Clinton campaign lawyer Mark Elias pushed back vigorously saying, you and your sources are wrong. So he just stopped. You know, he just stopped. It's kind of like what we saw happen with the Monica Lewinsky stuff. Remember, we had establishment media that their editorial staff said, no, we're not going to run with that. Matt Drudge did. That's why Matt Drudge became big, because he wasn't going to censor himself. So it was reported by Matt Drudge, and everybody started picking up on it then. So New York Times kind of backed off when they called to verify this. You know, they get the information. So what do? They call their friends in the Clinton campaign or their friends in the DNC and say, I've got this information. Is that true? No, there's nothing to that. Oh, okay, so I'll just shut down. I won't do any more investigation. But now the Washington Post is putting this out. They say Fusion GPS claims the original purpose of the dossier was simply to discredit Trump by revealing negative information about his past business dealings. But then the Clinton campaign got it. They sent it to Christopher Steele, and they turned it into perverted sex. And then after President Trump wins the election, you have John McCain send his staff to the UK to retrieve the dirty dossier. So here we have the Republicans at the beginning and the Republicans at the end. And then in between, we've got Hillary Clinton and the DNC. And they all know that they're sharing dirt with each other that they've created, fictionalized, about President Trump. And then you've got John McCain going over there and sending his representative, bringing it back. And then John McCain personally delivered it to then FBI Director Comey. The question is, who gave it to BuzzFeed? Because BuzzFeed were the ones that went public with it. McCain said he didn't do it. But of course, McCain didn't actually go over there and get physically retrieve the document. He's had somebody who is a surrogate of his, an employee of his, who actually did it. So if he has an employee of his give it to BuzzFeed, did he really do it? Yeah, I think so. So it just may be semantics as far as John McCain is concerned. But certainly we know that he retrieved it. He shopped it around. He gave it to the FBI director. And then there's this article now from the Wall Street Journal, the FBI's political meddling, because we know what the FBI did with it. The FBI then goes on after McCain brings back the dossier, the FBI wants to pay Fusion GPS for more information, right? And try to hire these guys. Want to get more information from you guys. So there you go. It's Republicans at the beginning, then it goes to the DNC and Hillary Clinton, then it goes back to the Republicans, then it goes to the establishment, the deep state, the FBI, and they want to get more information. They want to pay Fusion GPS for this. Everybody wants the dirt on President Trump. Let's hear what Newt Gingrich is saying about the Clinton uranium deal.
First of all, I do think it's useful not just to look at Russia, but to look at Saudi Arabia, to look at China. I mean, lots of countries have figured out that hiring a lobbyist, giving money to a foundation, endowing a university, the level of foreign money penetrating this country is very disturbing. And I think that we ought to have some kind of congressional hearings just to set the record of how many different countries are trying to influence us and to remind us that a lot of these so-called professors come from endowed chairs that have been endowed by foreign governments. So they're not necessarily giving us academic truth. They're, in effect, hired spokesmen. In the case of Russia, I've always thought it was crazy that we're over here looking at a very minor issue about Trump. You had the Uranium One deal. You had, I think, $135 million going to the Clinton Foundation. You had Bill Clinton getting $500,000. You had the Podesta Group doing things that were representational, including, I believe, representing a major Russian bank. The total surround for Hillary Clinton of Russian influence peddling was stunning.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I thought I didn't know that Sean Spicer had a sense of humor. He tweeted out, and I retweeted it on Libertarian. Hey, by the way, everybody's exposing Podesta's brother now. And he said, actually, he's just Fredo, if you get the reference. I want to play, when we come back, what Tom Cotton said about you can't give any credibility to the Trump dossier. And certainly we know that. And it is coming out now in spades. Even the Washington Post is pointing out. But I just want you to focus on the fact that we have this corrupt career politicians in Bill and Hillary Clinton. These are people who have sold America out with the Chinese. They've sold them out with the Russians. They've sold us out with everybody. As I said before, they are political prostitutes, part of this corrupt banana republic. And everybody in the world, every actor in the world, whether it's a corporation or a foreign government that wants military leverage over us, knows that they can go to these types of people. They can go to the Clintons and they can get anything they want, from military weapons to uranium, for the right price from the Clintons. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back.
Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's the Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. Instead of doing some news, as I usually do at the top of the hour, because of our radio stations, I'm going to keep going with this narrative about Hillary Clinton, because this truly is unprecedented for me. I've never seen the Washington Post basically turn on this kind of establishment. And what has come out, again, let me just reiterate the sequence of events here. It's the establishment Republicans who started doing research to try to take down Donald Trump. They did it. They made it about business deals that they created, fake stuff. And then when he won the nomination, they said, all right, we're not going to do it anymore. They handed over, though, to the Clintons, Fusion GPS people, and the Clintons make it about dirty, perverted sexual fantasies of theirs instead of business fantasies. That tells you something about the mentality of the people who run those two different parties. Like, the Republicans are saying they're fantasizing about corrupt business deals, and Clinton and their ilk are fantasizing about perverted sex. So they sex up this phony, dirty dossier. And then as President Trump wins, you have the Republican establishment and the person of John McCain, who wants to keep this Cold War going, who has a personal vendetta against President Trump and is part of the establishment. Let's just not forget this, okay? Part of the establishment. And it was GOP leadership that blocked the investigation into the uranium deal as well. It wasn't just the corrupt Department of Justice within the Obama administration. It wasn't just Loretta Lynch. It was the establishment Republicans as well. How long have we told you that there aren't two wings of government? It's just one. It's one. It's one warbird, if you will, that is running along here. The Republicans and Democrats are two wings of the same bird. And Hillary Clinton is just one of the heads of Hydra that is being cut off right now by the establishment in an attempt to free itself from, you know, the bear trap that she got her head stuck in. It was like, man, we're going to die if we don't cut off this head. So let's cut off Hillary Clinton and maybe we can live to fight another day. That's the situation that the GOP and Democrat and media establishment are in right now. They're going to cut her off. And that's a good thing. And we need to keep cutting heads off of the Hydra. But anyway, you have McCain, who brings it back and shops it around in Washington, gives it to the FBI, and then the FBI wants to go further. Give us some more information. We'll pay you for that information. And then we'll go back to the uranium deal. The story from the Gateway Pundit. Stunning that GOP leadership blocked investigation into the explosive Clinton uranium deal. And here's the evidence. In an interview with Fox News Sunday, GOP Representative Don DeSantis revealed Republican leadership blocked him and others from investigating the Clinton Uranium One deal. And we know that this was something that was under investigation. They said, wait a minute, the guys you're trying to sell this to in Russia, this is part of a bribery, fraud, money laundering investigation that had gone on for 15 months. Yet the committee that is supposed to oversee things that are critical to the national interests of America that should have stopped this, they ignore all that. The FBI ignored all of that. The FBI had a witness. The FBI threatened the witness. They said, you better not talk, okay? So we got the Democrats with the Obama administration saying, shut this down. You got the GOP establishment, as we're now hearing here, shut it down. We've got the law enforcement establishment, the FBI, threatening the witness who is going to blow the whistle on all this stuff. Shut it down. See? That's the key. It's the deep state. It's both parties. And DeSantis said, I've spoken with a confidential informant that helped the FBI uncover the bribery scheme. He's a member of the Oversight Committee. He said, clearly it is in the public's interest that this individual be able to tell his story to Congress. But he's been gagged, not just by the Democrats. He's been gagged by the Republicans. Will Jeff Sessions remove that non-disclosure agreement from that eyewitness and expose this information? We've got Grassley calling for it. Will Sessions do this? Why are they keeping this quiet? Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. It is a banner day, a banner week, as these things are starting to unravel, as they're cutting off the one head of Hydra, which is Hillary Clinton. We had on Fox News Sunday, Congressman DeSantis talking about Uranium One. And he said, we wanted to have this witness who was telling the FBI 15 months before the deal was approved by Hillary Clinton, by the Obama administration. They were investigating the individuals involved in Russia who were trying to purchase the uranium for money laundering, for bribery, for corruption, and other issues, and yet they still approved this. And then they put a gag order on it. So you have to understand, we've got all the Democrats, we had Hillary Clinton, we had Eric Holder, who was there at the time. We also had Timothy Geithner, Secretary of the Treasury, all part of that committee that would approve sales like this that were of vital national interest. And the FBI, who was investigating this, they all covered that up. They all approved it in spite of the FBI investigation. It's been going on for more than a year. So there you have it. It's got the Democrats, you got the FBI, and then DeSantis brings in the Republican establishment as well. He said on Sunday, he said the informant that he spoke to had signed his original non-disclosure deal with the Obama administration Attorney General Eric Holder, and he was threatened with reprisal by the Justice Department under Attorney General Loretta Lynch when he tried to come forward in 2016. He said he was very afraid they were going to kill him. He said they're afraid. He said, I was afraid people in Washington would kill me. I was afraid the Russians might kill me. And they absolutely, the FBI threatened him with jail if he told people about the corruption that all of them knew about before they approved the deal. At the end of the interview, he said something that was very stunning. He said the GOP leadership blocked him from investigating evidence from the Clinton uranium deal. There you have it. The Democrats, the Obama administration, the FBI, the establishment Republicans all covered this up. The same people who did the same thing with the dirty dossier. The Republicans started it. They created some fantasies of theirs about corrupt business dealings with President Trump and the Russians. So that's the Republican fantasy, to try to shut him down in the primaries. Then when he wins in the primaries, the Democrats take it over. They put in their perverted sexual fantasies. Then when he wins, you've got John McCain, the Dr. Strangelove of the new Cold War, sends a guy to get it from the British spy who was writing this work of fiction and to bring it back. And he shopped it around personally. McCain personally shopped it around and personally gave it to FBI Director James Comey. And then he says that he didn't personally give it to BuzzFeed. Maybe it was a guy that he sent to get it, to bring it back. Here's Tom Cotton talking about the dirty dossier a couple of days ago, saying you cannot give any credibility to this thing. And now we know why, because the Washington Post has come out and said the same thing. But here's what Tom Cotton said before the Washington Post exposed this progression of events.
Have you seen anything that's helped you determine how credible this Trump dossier has been?
Well, I think some of the key points about its credibility are unknown. As Senator Burr said at a press conference a couple weeks ago, as anyone who's followed the matter closely knows, I mean, this outfit here in Washington, D.C., Fusion GPS, has gone to the greatest lengths possible to try to conceal who paid them, which makes me think it was probably a Democratic political operative or Russian intelligence service. Right now, I mean, you've got their employees or officers in front of the House of Representatives and are now fighting in the district court here to quash a subpoena of their bank records. I mean, they have a constitutional right to take the Fifth. We have a common sense right to draw what inferences we will from that. Likewise, I don't think we know anything about who the sources for this document is. I mean, this former MI6 officer, about whom we know little, Chris Steele, I don't think was running around Russia interviewing people who claim to have firsthand knowledge of any of these outlandish allegations. So for all our knowledge, we could be dealing not just with sources, but subsources whose identities, you know, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And for that matter, who are being paid to provide salacious information, or if they were officers of Russian intelligence who were tasked to provide that information. So I think you can't give any credibility to it at this point, certainly not until we answer those questions, nor have I seen any reason to do so.
Okay, so that was a day or so ago. And what do you say? Things change very quickly. That was 2 days ago. He goes, they're shopping this thing around. They go up there. They keep pleading the Fifth, these Fusion GPS people. They plead the Fifth when they talk to the House Intelligence Committee. So he goes, I don't think there's any credibility to this, but the question is, who paid them to make this stuff up? Maybe it was the Russians. See, it always goes back, the Russians are always the fall guys. Whenever they want to create some kind of a fictional thing, they always go, grab Boris Badenov and Natashka. We'll blame it on them, you know. That's what they do. I mean, it's like, oh, the Russians must have done some dirty business dealings. Oh, the Russians must have set up some kind of a honey trap with Donald Trump. Oh, the Russians must have paid then to make, none of this happen? Well, then the Russians must have paid to make all this stuff up. Are you getting tired of that? I mean, this is just absurd. Just absurd. So now we've seen who paid for it. Yeah, it was Republican establishment figures who paid for it. It was the DNC and Hillary Clinton who paid for the next phase of it. And it was establishment Republican John McCain who shopped it around and got the FBI to try to pay for more of it. Okay? Did anything to do with the Russians? I mean, they were the convenient villains of this, as they always are. They did buy the uranium. They did buy the uranium. You know what? Vladimir Putin is trying to do things in his nation's interest. That's always the game. You know, Donald Trump has said, hey, we're going to have nationalism here. And that means that you're going to try to get the best trade deal or whatever for your country. And we're going to try to do the best job for our country. But that's not the way the game has been played. Not by the Clintons and others. What they would do, it wasn't like Vladimir Putin came over and seduced this virginal Hillary Clinton, who was so virtuous, into betraying America for money. No, that didn't happen. Everybody knew how the Clintons operated. They'd seen what they'd done with the Chinese back in the 90s with Charlie Tree and the rest of them. Remember, they gave Charlie Tree immunity to testify about what the Clintons had done. And usually what they do is they give somebody who is at the bottom of the scheme or who is a bag man or something, they give them legal immunity so they can get them to testify against the kingpins and the crime syndicate, okay, or the racketeering group, which is what the Clintons are. They're a racketeering group. And so usually you'll give immunity, the FBI would give immunity to somebody like Charlie Tree to then testify about what the Clintons did to betray this country to the Chinese. And they did. They gave immunity to him. And he testified about what the Clintons did. But unlike every other case where they take somebody from the mafia and they say, you know, tell us about the Don. What did the Don do? And he sings like a bird. So he gets immunity. He gets a plea deal. And then they take that information and they send the Don to jail, don't they? When they're going after the mafia. But not when they go after the Clinton mafia. Instead, they have the guy sing like a bird, and they say, okay, well, that was very interesting. Thank you so much. You can go, and so can the Clintons. We're not going to do anything with that information after they gave him immunity. So everybody in the world, if they want to do something for their country, and clearly the Russians are operating in their own interests. I mean, they're doing things to protect themselves, and part of that is to get rid of the petrodollar. We talked about that multiple times, the fact that they are now tripled their gold reserves to protect their financial interests. But of course, when they protect their natural interests and their national interests with gold reserves, that means that that damages our fiat currency, our petrodollar, which is basically a Ponzi scheme fraud with the help of the Saudi Arabians. And so when he tries to get the uranium for the advantage of his country, where's he going to go? He's going to go to a known criminal like Hillary Clinton, and he's going to buy what he needs. And then we wind up getting the shaft, just like we do from the Federal Reserve when it comes to our currency. And that's what happened here, folks. And it is now coming out, an amazing day that the Washington Post is putting this stuff out. So we're going to see what happens with this. We've now got the, here, are they going to do something with it? Have Grassley now inviting Townsend to provide information about this informant that said, hey, all these people were investigating it 15 months before Hillary Clinton and Obama approved this. We now got the House GOP chairman announcing that they're going to do a probe of Obama's Justice Department. Yes, please do. Please do. Where is our Justice Department under the Trump administration? Why aren't they probing this? Jeff Sessions, where are you? I'm David Knight. I'll be here after the break. Welcome back on this Wednesday, October 25th, 2017. We're going to be talking about the other person who was unmasked in the last 24 hours. We had Hillary Clinton unmasked by the Washington Post, and then Jeff Flake came out and unmasked himself. We're going to let you hear some of the things that he said as this bitter loser, this establishment creature, is going down in flames. He knows that he can't get reelected. He knows that there is a grassroots movement to take people like him and Bob Corker out. They're not going to be able to win reelection. Bob Corker got out immediately after the primary, where the Republican establishment, and again, let's just remind everybody that Republican establishment was knee-deep in the cover-up Uranium One, just like Hillary Clinton, just like the Obama administration, but it was also people at the upper level of the establishment and the Republican Party. And they were also involved in the production and the distribution of the dirty dossier, just like the Democrats were, and just like the FBI was. And so you've got the Republican and Democrat establishment and the FBI at the center of both the dirty dossier and Uranium One. And these people are seeing the handwriting on the wall when they spent $30 million to defeat Roy Moore. And he defeated their puppet, Luther Strange, in Alabama. So we're going to go to Jeff Flake in just one moment, real quickly. I want to run down the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what funds this program. That's what funds everything that we do here at InfoWars. And we've got some new sales. Big discounts on Silver Bullet, our colloidal silver, as well as Winter Sun, our vitamin D supplement. Both of those are 50% off. That's 50% off Silver Bullet and Winter Sun. Right now, that's a new sale that's started this week. We still have, for a limited time, 50% off BrainForce Plus. If you've never tried this, this is a great time to try it. I know you're going to like it. It's my favorite supplement that I take here at InfoWars. And, of course, if you've tried it, it's a great time to stock up on it. BrainForce Plus, 50% off. And also, we have 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink. That's a great way to get all of your essential vitamins and minerals without taking a handful of pills. And it is a great tasting drink mix, and you can make it taste like anything you want and just drink all your vitamins very quickly. You can get 10% off right now if you enter the code at checkout, VITA10. That's VITA10. Get 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink at checkout when you enter the code VITA10. All right, let's go to Jeff Flake. And let's hear his bitter statements attacking President Trump as he said, "I'm going to quit. That's it. You're not going to have me to kick around anymore. I know that I can't win the re-election." So this is what he then did within the last 24 hours. Here's Jeff Flake.
"We must never meekly accept the daily sundering of our country, the personal attacks, the threats against principles, freedoms, and institution, the flagrant disregard for truth and decency, the reckless provocations, most often for the pettiest and most personal reasons, reasons having nothing whatsoever to do with the fortunes of the people that we have been elected to serve."
Now, did he say anything
None
about
of these
Barack
appalling
Obama?
Features of our
that.
Current politics should ever be
stuff?
Regarded as normal. We must never allow ourselves to lapse into thinking that that is just the way things are now.
But he did if that all through the Obama administration.
If we simply become inured to this condition, thinking that it is just politics as usual, then heaven help us. Without fear of the consequences and without consideration of the rules of what is politically safe or palatable, we must stop pretending that the degradation of our politics and the conduct of some in our executive branch are normal. They are not normal."
Okay, let's let it go at that, because this guy goes on and on and on, pontificating with his moral superiority when he went along with everything that Barack Obama did. Didn't have any kind of moral outrage while Barack Obama was running roughshod over the Constitution and doing whatever he wanted to like a tyrant. And so, you know, when I heard this, what it reminded me of was that famous quote from A Tale of Two Cities with Ronald Coleman. Let me play that for you if you haven't heard it. This is basically what I heard from Jeff Flake as he was coming off of his moral high horse about his moral superiority to President Trump as he knows that he can't win re-election. This is what he sounded like to me. Standing there before the guillotine.
"A far better thing I do than I have ever done. It's a far, far better rest I go to than I have ever known."
Yeah, he stands right there as he's headed towards the political guillotine that was called the 2018 election. And so he comes up here with this moral superiority. Let's listen to some of the nonsense coming out of Bob Corker. Let's go to that clip.
He's obviously not going to rise to the occasion as president.
Do you think he's a role model to children in the United States?
No.
You don't?
No, absolutely not. I think that, you know, the things that are happening right now that are harmful to our nation, whether it's the breaking down of, we're going to be doing some hearings on some of the things that he purposely is breaking down, relationships we have around the world that have been useful to our nation. But I think at the end of the day, when his term is over, I think the debasing of our nation, the constant non-truth-telling, the name-calling, the things like, I think the debasement of our nation will be what he'll be remembered most for, and that's regretful. And it affects young people. I mean, we have young people who, for the first time, are, you know, watching a president stating, you know, absolute non-truths, non-stop, personalized.
Yeah, he's exposing what you're doing. Let's leave it at that. You know, he wants to talk about how, isn't this awful? I mean, all these relationships that President Trump is shutting down. You know, like those relationships, those cozy relationships that Bob Corker stood for between the insurance companies who are getting subsidies by stealing money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac investors. He was one of the guys who was blocking that, standing astride that, propping up Obamacare. Yeah, let's talk about relationships, your relationships with the crony capitalists that you were robbing the American people of. You know, he's very upset because President Trump has been exposing their corrupt game plan and has been shutting it down. That's what he's upset about. And he's upset, just like Jeff Flake, about the fact that he's not going to be able to win re-election. That's what these guys are really upset about. Trump has exposed their game. They are hanging out there. I mean, when you look at Obamacare, that alone was going to take down Bob Corker. But he's a corrupt part of the business establishment. When you look at Jeff Flake, he's the junior partner of John McCain. Two of them coming out of Arizona. It's going to be kind of interesting now because we're going to have both senators in Arizona. Both of these positions are going to be up for re-election pretty soon. Flake was going to be running in 2018, and we don't know when the replacement for McCain is going to be taking place. We've got to wait for medical issues to play out in his particular case. And so we're going to have two Senate elections there in Arizona. The only good thing about that might be that you won't have so many conservatives running against each other. Maybe they can decide which ones are going to run in which elections so they don't cannibalize that and let an establishment player come up through the middle because all the conservatives and Tea Party people are running against each other. All right, we're going to be talking in the next segment to Alexander Dugin, very important media figure in Russia. We're going to talk to him and get some perspective on the Russian Revolution. October 25th, 2017, 100 years after some significant events in Red October. And we'll talk to him about what's going on in Russia today. This will be not the kind of Boris Badenov interviews that we've seen from the mainstream media. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, worldwide, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. It's October the 25th, 2017. It's 100 years after a very significant event in the Russian Revolution, known as Red October by many people. I wanted to talk to Alexander Dugin. He is a very influential person in media and in politics in Russia. So I wanted to get his perspective on 100 years after the Russian Revolution. He wrote a book called The Fourth Political Theory. This is something that has had a lot of influence in Russian politics. And he has also started a new political party, a new movement, the Eurasia Movement that he calls. And the political party is the Eurasia Party. And it is a fully vested Russian political party. But I want to get his perspective on a lot of different things. He was also involved with the religious restoration in Russia. The Orthodox Church is in the ascendancy here now that we've seen the communist move aside. That has now become a cultural center in Russia as well. So thank you for joining us, Mr. Dugin.
Hi. Thanks you to invite me. Mr. Knight.
Thank you so much. And you know, I want to, because we're here at the anniversary of the Russian Revolution, and because you've been so involved with the Orthodox Church and the revival of Christianity post-communism in Russia, comment a little bit about what happened to people and to Christians after Lenin took power.
The October Revolution is the part of our history. In order to understand the meaning of this event, we need to have the idea about Russian history, what we are, what we have been, and what have we suffered during Soviet time. So first of all, Russian identity is linked deeply with Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Christianity is our identity. It not only the part of our identity, is the essence, it is the axis of our identity. We became the people with Christian faith. So before, we have no idea about what we have been before Christianity. So our identity was made, was constructed, was organized around this Christian Orthodox tradition. And Bolsheviks, they have destroyed precisely this essence of Russian people. And that was the great catastrophe of our history, because that was the end of time. In our history, we have passed through some ends of time. In the time of the in the 17th century, we have passed very difficult period about this the split of our Orthodox Church for old believers and new believers. That was as well considered by the Christian conservative part of our society as end of the time and as coming of Antichrist. But that was only part. The old believers, they believed in the traditional foundations of our Christian tradition. They were very negative. They had negative attitudes toward modernity, the Western modernity. They were very proud to be Christian Orthodox instead of them. They and old believers were defeated in front of modernity. And in the beginning of the 20th century, in the in the October Revolution, that was the second end of time in our history, because this time was destruction not only of the part of our church, but that was the destruction of all our Christian identity. And the people who have won, have usurped the power in the 17th, they were completely alien to our tradition. They were culturally, culturally, ethnically as well. They were not Russian. They were used by, they were globalists, they were internationalists. They hated Russian identity, and they have destroyed all the foundations, existential foundations, intellectual, metaphysical foundations of our identity. And that was the really the end of time, end of Russian time.
Mr. Dugan, I want to interject here, because, you know, when you're talking about this and you're saying that the Orthodox Church in Russia was really kind of the foundation of the culture, the foundation of the nation, I would say that Vladimir Lenin would agree with you because, you know, he went specifically after the churches to destroy them. You know, Marx had said that it was the opiate of the masses. And so what he did was he realized that in order to make a new society, he had to tear down the foundations of the existing society, the foundations of both the culture and the legal system, and everything, by going after the church. And so I think that was a key part of what he did there. You know, we had, you remind me in a lot of ways of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who said that men have forgotten God. And it was a very deliberate effort to make man forget God that the communists did as they came into Russia. And I guess the question is, you know, and of course, Solzhenitsyn, when he came to the West, he had a lot of criticism for the West as well, saying that we have also forgotten God. But he eventually went back to Russia. And I guess the question is, what has happened after we saw the fall of the Soviet Union? Because most Americans don't really make a distinction between the Soviet Union and Russia as it is today. What has fundamentally changed? Because Solzhenitsyn went back. Have you recovered the foundations of God and the Orthodox Church? And how was that done? When was that done?
So first of all, you are absolutely right about destruction of Russian identity through destruction of Christian Orthodox consciousness. So without Christian roots, without our belief in God, we could not exist as a people, as a nation. We was formed around that, and that make our basis. So Bolsheviks, they have consciously destroyed this foundation in order to exchange the Christian vision of the world, Orthodox Russian vision of the world, by their Marxist conception. And they were successful in that. They have succeeded in that, and that is our strategy, because that was a kind of heresy that has overcome our orthodoxy. And the problem is that after the end of communism, we are trying to recover from this trauma, from this catastrophic period, but it seems to be very difficult. We are not more absolutely. It is absolutely clear that we are not more anymore Soviet or communist. I never wasn't. I was the. I fought against. That with my humble forces, I was Orthodox, I was traditionalist, I was conservative, but I would say that it is very difficult to come to our identity, to restore it. We are trying now. We are certainly are no more communist. We have finished with this Soviet identity, but at the same time, it's not so easy to restore the real faith, the real church. We are trying that. To make that. And now what is interesting, now that are not communists that attack us more, but liberals, the West blame us not for being communist, but for being Russian, for being Orthodox, Christians. And here Solzhenitsyn is quite right, because it is not only Russians that have lost the belief, the faith in God.
That's right, it's the West. And we got to go to a break. We're talking to Alexander Dugin. We're going to come right back, and I want to ask him about the current state in Russia, ask him about his political philosophy, the Eurasia movement, and his fourth political theory. What is behind that? He describes himself as a national Bolshevik. I want to get him to define what that means. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Alexander Dugin. He is a Russian author and a political scientist. He's written a book called The Fourth Political Theory. It has been called a sensation in Russian political circles. We want to talk to him about his political philosophy. He started a new political party there, the Eurasia Party. And before we go into the state of Russia today, because we're looking at the 100th anniversary of the Russian Revolution, Red October. I wanted to ask him, because we were talking in the last segment about how he and others like Alexander Solzhenitsyn viewed the Orthodox Church as the foundation of Russia. And clearly, Lenin and Marx did as well, calling it the opiate of the masses, taking it down, because they realized that if they could take down the religious and cultural foundations of a country, they could erect whatever they wanted to. And so before we get into what's going on today and how Mr. Dugin views America today, I want to ask him real quickly, when you talked about how they completely destroyed Christianity in Russia, Was there some underground thread that was there? You're talking about how you're trying to restore the foundations of Christianity in Russia that were lost. But what did individual Christians do? Did they go into underground churches like we see happening in China, for example?
Oh, that's the real problem, because in a certain moment, almost all churches were closed. The majority of them were destroyed. So they have tried. The Bolsheviks have tried to come into the consciousness, into the head, into mentality of Russian people in order to eradicate, thrown out the religion's feeling. But instead of all that, In spite of all that, the faith lived, not directly Christian tradition, but the faith in Christian God, in Christ, lived in spite of all that in the souls of the people and everybody. We have conserved Christian identity without being Christians participating in the rites and going to the churches. And we try to find any open possibility in order to return to that. Certain people conserved the tradition. They managed to visit from time to time the churches. They were very rare. But what is much more important, our people as a mystical body of Christ has conserved this faith in the heart. And where the chance was open in the perestroika to the end of the Soviet time, our church was recreated from nothing, from almost nothing. And that was a flourishing of this return to our identity, to our roots. It's not easy process, but what is interesting, maybe that is dialectic, maybe that is paradoxal, in spite of the communist dictatorship, atheist, materialist, Marxist, Leninist dictatorship orientated against our faith, we rest Christians, we have saved our faith. And in the new possibility, when the kind of the shadow of liberty arrived, we have used it in order to restore our church consciousness, our church. And that is completely opposite to what is going on in the West. West mm-hmm. is so-called free, but you now is much more atheist, Marxist-Leninist than we were. So that is interesting.
And you know, I think at the center of this, Mr. Dugan, is Lenin himself. The guy who led the October Revolution. And the fact that, you know, we said, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, men have forgotten God. Well, it was Lenin who made himself God. And it was interesting for me to see that about 70% of the people in Russia would like to have Lenin, who's been preserved, his body has been preserved there in Red Square as a mausoleum for everybody to have to watch. But about 70% of the people, because there's still about 30% of the people who are still hardcore communists, but the rest of Russia has essentially turned, and they would actually like to have him buried rather than to keep him on display. I think that is an interesting symbol, the man himself, Lenin, who still presides there in Red Square, and 70% of the people in Russia, at least, would like to have him removed and bury the past, the Leninist past. Is that correct?
That, yes, you are correct. But at the same time, there are no so much hardcore communists. 30% of these waters, they don't want exactly to conserve the Lenin, because that was a kind of Soviet period was on the Christian side. From the Christian side of view, that was the catastrophe. But we had a kind of Soviet patriotism. That was a kind of continuation, perverted continuation of Russian patriotism. And now the Soviet past is criticized not only by us, by Christian, by conservative, but as well by liberals. They try to demonize Russian history as a whole. So some people defend not so much Lenin as the symbol, because the communism is dead here. It is alive in a new form in cultural Marxism or globalization in the West, but here it is absolutely dead. But Soviet patriotism and the old agers, it still exists, but it has nothing to do with Lenin as this anti-Christian person. It is a kind of continuation of the patriotism. So there is no Leninism, including our Russian communists. Modern era communists are much more patriotic in some special way. So Russia is returning to itself, and the problem is, when there will be the turn of the West to return to your Christian, Greco-Roman roots, because we have overcome with great suffering, we have overcome this disease of communism, of atheism and materialism, and now it is your turn to do the yes. same, to overcome, to recover your identity, because you are losing your identity. And the dictatorship of globalists is more or less, for us, it's very, very similar to what we have experienced ourselves.
And, you know, when you're talking about the fact that, yes, we have embraced the values of Marxism in many ways, more so than the people of Russia right now, because, and you mentioned cultural Marxism, that is political correctness. That is the tactic, the technique that was used to stifle any kind of opposition. And now that is running rampant in America. And, of course, those same people who uphold cultural Marxism, who uphold political correctness, are the very ones who are going around trying to tear down the foundations of our culture, of our civilization, of our religion, going all the way back to Christopher Columbus. I mean, it's a very literal tearing down of the foundations that we see now. Now, you've spoken about the globalists. You're very anti-globalist, but I wanted to ask you a little bit about, and we're going to have to take a break in about 2 minutes or so, but if I can, I'll keep you over to one more segment. But I wanted to ask you about your Eurasia movement. And when you were talking about that back in 2002, you saw it as you saw a war that was brewing between Russia and you saw a conflict where you needed to have a struggle between the bourgeois and the American Revolution. Are you still, is it the American Revolution in general that you are upset about, or do you still have that opinion? That was back in 2002. Have things changed now?
So the most important things has changed during the Trump's campaign. So I never thought about existence, very existence of American people as the power that could say no to the globalization, that could say no to this global government, to this interventionism. And this decision to support Donald Trump of American people is, in my eyes, more important than Trump himself. So there is new force, new subject in the history that appears. And now I think that we need to reconsider our relations. So we should not be in the war, United States against Russia, Russians against Americans. We have committed many sins, many bad, evil actions, both of us, our people and your people. But now we are in danger, and our enemy is unique. It attacks us and attacks you. It is globalist. Yes. And now
I agree. Yes. And so we're going to explore that a little bit further. We got to take a quick break, Mr. Dugan, and we'll be right back. We're talking to Alexander Dugan. What is the true enemy? He sees us as the Trump movement, which is bigger than Trump himself, as a movement to take back control from the globalists who have, quite frankly, been headquartered here in America for a very long time. We'll be right back with Alexander Dugan. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Alexander Dugan. He is a Russian who has a great deal of political knowledge and influence in Russia. So I think it's important to understand his perspective on what has happened in Russia in the last 100 years. As he talked about the first part of the interview, the destruction of Russia's culture, legal system was about the destruction of its religious foundation. And they went through a period of intense persecution, as everyone knows. Anybody who opposed the state under Stalin was ferreted out, sent to prison. Even the most minor criticism of Stalin would get you sent to a gulag, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn found out. But now they have had a restoration. And I find it interesting that individuals like Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Alexander Dugin were referencing God in the midst of all of this persecution, and that as Russia has changed, they have moved back to their Christian foundation. So I want to talk to Mr. Dugin now about his new party. It was created in 2002 on the eve of George W. Bush's visit to Russia. And Mr. Dugin, I'm reading a Wikipedia entry here about it, so maybe you can correct this, because we know that Wikipedia is not the final word on anything. But this is a political party that you founded, and some of the things that you said: in principle, Eurasia, which is what you're talking about, and our space, the heartland Russia, remain the staging area of a new anti-bourgeois, anti-American revolution, rejecting Atlanticism and refusing to allow liberal values to dominate us. So could you clarify what you mean by that? As we were going to break, you were pointing out the fact that this was really a response to globalism that was being, where America was essentially the seat of globalism, as we see with George W. Bush and his New World Order. Was that what you were reacting to, or is there anything in particular about America that you find incompatible with Russia? I think from what I've heard you say the last several years, that was 15 years ago, last several years, and with the changes in America with the election of Donald Trump and the changes, I would say, also that are happening globally and in Europe, that things have changed now. We're seeing a devolution, and we're seeing people pushing back against a lot of the, when you talk about liberal values, I'll let you define what you mean by liberal values. But go ahead, your comment on what you mean by Atlanticism.
So in the geopolitics, and that is a kind of science of political analysis, there are two positions, sea power and land power. That was this science, geopolitics, was introduced by British man Halford Mackinder in the beginning of 20th century. And that was accepted in the political elite. I have met once in Washington deceased Brzezinski. He was representative of this Atlanticism. What means Atlanticism? That is idea to organize the global planet, the whole humankind, the mankind, around only Western Pole, in the pole of modernity, of so-called human rights ideology based on Anglo-Saxon values of individualism and capitalism. And that is Atlanticism. And on other part, that was on other side, that was land power. Land power, it is the same as Eurasia and heartland. So geopolitics, they consider the world as the great war between sea power and land power. And that was not introduced by us. That is the major law of geopolitics. And always that was the West knew that, and Atlanticism was established strategy of world domination, and we dealt in Soviet epoch with ideological tools to understand that. And after the fall of the communism, I have introduced
Mr. Dugin, we got to take a break. I promise that when we come back, I'm going to let you, we're going to go straight to your reply here, so I don't do a long introduction, and we'll let you define Atlanticism and the inherent conflict that you see between land and sea power, and between perhaps Russia and America when we come back.
You found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Alexander Dugin, political scientist, very active politically. His books have had a lot of influence and Russian political thought. And so we would like to find out what his view is of the world here, because there's a lot of people in Russia that share his thought. He's been very influential there. And I'm going to go right back to him because we've had to cut him off a couple of times here with hard breaks that we have coming up. He was just defining for us how he defines Atlanticism, something that he said came from British geopolitical thought. So I want to go back to Professor Dugin, Alexander Dugin, and go ahead, continue with what you were saying about Atlanticism.
So Atlanticism is the same as liquid society, as the civilization based on matter, on technology, and the opposite civilization, land power, it is solid society, the society based on conservatism, on tradition, on on hierarchy, on traditional society. So Atlanticism is the kind of strategical manifestation of modernity, and the land power or Eurasianism is a strategical representation of the tradition, of the conservative traditional values. That was proposed by English school of geopolitics, that was accepted by German school of geopolitics during 30, and above all by Carl Schmitt, German philosopher. And after the fall of the communism, we have discovered that for us, because we were heartland, we were named, called a kind of the greatest enemy of Atlanticism, because that were weren't us who started that. That was an Anglo-Saxon strategical vision of Mackinder. But we have accepted this logic, and we declared our will to restore our power, our might, our sovereignty as independent pole of power in the world, in the balance of powers. And globalism was new edition of Atlanticism, of new edition of imperialism. But little by little, we have discovered, and the end phase of this discovering was the Trump's campaign, that the West, the European and American society suffer from the same Atlanticism, from the same evil power of transnational elites, and we shouldn't play the game of this globalist elite. They try to oppose our people against American people, and that hatred of Russia, and as well the symmetric hatred of Americans in our country. Both these currents, they serve the cause of globalists. So we need to redefine geopolitics now, because we are dealing with the same power, with the same evil that attacks us, Americans and Russians. So now we have entered new era of geopolitics, of vertical geopolitics, not horizontal geopolitics. And I think that now we see Trump's supporters are the real America, and Atlanticists. They want to use real Americans in order to start the new war with us. As well, the other forces, they try to use us against Americans. But we need to liberate ourselves from this hypnosis, from this mind control, in order to return to our identity, to our Christian, to our tradition, to our Greek, Romans, European, Russian, Slavic, Byzantine, Latin, German, and Celtic roots, because we should not be object of this globalist game. We should return to be subjects of it. We should liberate
ourselves. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, we need to establish that true diversity, true multiculturalism, is allowing different countries to pursue their own cultures and so forth. And I guess as you're talking about Atlanticism, you know, grew out of the British concept of sea power that they were able to project. And out of that, we had globalism that was based on projecting power, based on shipping, based on trade and that sort of thing. But it has become a structure that has attacked the very countries, both the U.S. and Britain, that created and thrived on that. Now it has turned on those countries. So I think we see with Brexit, as well as with Trump, we see internal movements that are saying, no, we're going to pursue our own national interest, not the interest of those who have become the multinational corporations. We're going to have a true multiculturalism, a true diversity of different national peoples. Would you say that's correct?
I agree with that. And I think that changes everything. We have nothing against Anglo-Saxon. We have nothing against Englishmen. We have nothing against American. But American Revolution was anti-British precisely because it was continental. That was a revolution against sea power. That was liberation from this imperialistic control. And when Great Britain has quitted European Union, it is liberation for both, for Europe from Great Britain and Great Britain from European globalists. So that is the double victory. And now, when the people of Great Britain, when the people of United States are returning to their own goal, so we are friends in the creation of multipolar world. We have nothing against us because we have no problem, no quarrels about the territory of the zone of the influence. We could solve any problem and there will be no reason to war, because only this domination of globalist elite creates the wars, the conflicts. We could deal easily with each other if we give together the possibility and the right to be different. This positive appreciation, the positive understanding of difference, that is precisely what we lack. And that is the game of globalists. They try to impose unique measure of things. They try to create a universe. They try to make their agenda universal one. And that is not true. Against that, we are fighting. But we should fight against globalism together with American, with English men, because we are attacked by the same enemy. They try to destroy our identity and they try to replace our population by migrants and after that by robots. That is clear. It is not only replacement by European people, by migrants, refugees as well. The migrants and Muslims and refugees will be replaced by the cyborgs and robots. And that is normally, that is the evil and the ill psychological of globalization. We need, for example, they try to destroy the difference between sexes. After that, they will destroy the difference between cyborg and man. And they are going in that direction. We need to stop them together. That is new adjustment, new vision of geopolitical challenge that we have in front of us.
We got to take a quick break. If I can get you to stay one more segment with us, that'd be great. And I want to pick up on that, too, because you said something I think that's very interesting, that they want to destroy the difference between men and women. And the next thing that they want to do is destroy the difference between man and machine. That is what's coming up. And it was interesting because Putin said the very same thing earlier this week, warning people about genetically engineered humans that will feel no pain, feel no fear, and have superhuman capabilities. It's not just Skynet becoming self-aware, but we have to understand the dangers that are inherent in this and the few people who want to control the world. So we're going to be talking about that, as well as what's happening in Europe with the decentralization of power, the movement that's going on there with Alexander Dugin. When we come back, I'm David Knight. Stay with us. David Knight, and we're talking to Alexander Dugin. Very important to understand Russian perspectives, to understand how things have changed in the 100 years since the October Revolution. We talked about the fact that now 70% of the people would like to see Lenin dead and buried. He is dead, but he's still on display. So there has been a change in Russia that I think many Americans don't understand. But I found it a very interesting discussion with Mr. Dugin, because as he's talking about the traditional understanding that came actually out of British political thought, geopolitical thought, talking about land and sea. When I go back and look at the last 100 years, I think something that parallels that is the consolidation of power that began about the time of our Civil War here in America, as well as in many nation states. Italy, for example, there was a struggle between agrarian and industrial. And of course, that kind of parallels the struggle between land and sea. The industrial powers that were consolidating everything into nation states were very much focused on trade and about domination, and they were globally and outwardly focused, whereas the agrarian interests were very much, you know, about their local area. And so I think that is one way to understand what Mr. Dugin is saying, another context to look at it. And we have seen that kind of consolidation and has progressed until we have seen the European Union and other types of unions. They want to progress that into a global government. So I want to get his comments now about what he sees happening in the near future, the forces that are now moving the pendulum back in the other direction, away from this consolidation, away from this homogenization. Because as we pointed out in the last segment, you have, with different nations, you have this culturally diverse situation. That's true multiculturalism, true diversity, when you have this rich tapestry of nations and cultures. But multinationalism, globalism, seeks to destroy that. It seeks to join everything together into one and to reduce all of the cultures and take away the religions and essentially make themselves gods. So let's continue with that. We were just starting to talk about, and I thought you had an interesting observation, Mr. Dugin, about the fact that they want to erase the differences between men and women, and they also want to erase the differences between men and machines. I think that's where we are now in terms of the struggle that we see happening. And, of course, we had Vladimir Putin talking about the danger of genetic engineering, the danger of cyborgs, and that is a part of it. It's not just artificial intelligence, but it is also the messing with the human genome that is going on right now.
So exactly. What is interesting, you have mentioned very important things. Traditional society was based on agriculture. Agriculture, it is the essence of traditional society. Modernity came with industrial development, and that was a kind of international world order based on the competition between growing industrial countries. That was the first stage of globalization. And that was the end of traditional society. But now we are coming to the third stage of the same process, that is post-modernity. It is post-industrial society that is centered around global finances represented by persons as George Soros, and as well on the virtual reality. Virtual reality and artificial intelligence, as well the creation of cyber. That is the logical stage of this globalization, because traditional society is has its root in the agriculture. A modern society is much more sea power, because it is much more easy to move. And finally, the real globalization is achieved in the next step. And that is, up to the certain moment, inevitable. If everything is evitable, we could avoid everything. But the logic of the development of the industry, of the technique, of the industry, of capitalism, is going in that direction. And following this direction, as globalists suggest, we will lose absolutely for sure we will lose our human identity. We have lost our tradition. We have lost our religion in the first passage towards modernity. After that, now we are losing modern national states based on industrial basis in economy. And now we are going in the third stage. But all that is decision. It is not something natural. Nothing with man is natural. We are deciding, and we could decide for globalization, for this step, and that will mean exactly bye-bye human, goodbye humankind. That will welcome cyborgs, because that is logical consequence of this development. And at the same time, we could stop here. We could say no more, enough. And that depends on us. And when you say that you give the voice to the silent majority, that is essential, because we should ask the people if you want to be replaced by robot. But that is exactly the only reason, the only meaning of globalists. Agenda. So if they agree, if this silent majority agrees, we could recognize that as inevitable. But if not, so we should say the people the truth. We should open for them the horizons of their own decisions. We should not let globalists decide in spite of us, in our name, in our sake. We who can say yes, please vote for Hillary. Who says, who decides otherwise, who is trying to preserve human dignity, should vote Trump, support Putin, and absolutely support InfoWar and Alex Jones and you and all your staff.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very, and I think you're exactly right. People have to understand what the decision before them is. This is a time to decide. Many people are still asleep. They're not paying attention to what is going on. I mean, one of the things that's going to be happening in just the next couple of years are going to be banning private ownership of cars. That means that they're going to be banning a lot of our privacy. They're going to be banning a lot of our mobility. And people have to be aware of the consequences of the decisions and be involved in these decisions, or these decisions will be made for you by other people. And that's the key thing. That's what you're trying to do there with your organizations in Russia. That's what we're trying to do here with InfoWars, to wake people up and say, this is what's coming down the line. This is what your future is going to look like if we follow this path, or if we go in a different direction, this is what the path is going to look like. This is a very important time to decide. As Lenin said, there are many decades where nothing happens, and then there are weeks where decades happen. I think we're in that kind of a period here 100 years after the revolution. We've covered the waterfront here with Alexander Dugin. We've gone from the Russian Revolution all the way into the future with cyborgs. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Dugin. And stay with us. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking to Lionel. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
Universal deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
That's right. I think there is nowhere to run or nowhere to hide for Hillary Clinton. When the Washington Post is pulling her mask off and saying, look at the witch behind this mask, she's got some problems coming up. And we're going to talk to Lionel. He's going to break down what's happening here as well. Real quickly, I haven't done a commercial break for several segments here, so I need to tell you about some of the specials that we have at InfoWars. We have a couple of new specials. We have Silver Bullet, our colloidal silver, as well as Winter Sun, our vitamin D3 supplement. Both of those are now 50% off. Stock up on things that are going to help you to fight colds during this season. that will help to supplement the vitamin D deficiency that can happen during the winter when you don't get a lot of sun. But, of course, most of us Americans are locked in our homes all the time anyway. We never get out. So that's a great thing to take year-round. But right now, 50% off vitamin D, winter sun, and Silver Bullet, our colloidal silver product. Also, BrainForce Plus is still 50% off. We still have Anthroplex at 50% off, Super Male Vitality at 30% off, and you can get 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink mix. You can do that at checkout. Just enter the code VITA10, that's VITA10, to get 10% off our Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink at checkout. All right, joining us now is Lionel, of course, an award-winning, Emmy Award-winning TV news decoder, legal analyst. You can find him on YouTube, Lionel Nation, on Twitter at Lionel Media, and LionelMedia.com is his website. Lionel, you know, it's been a bad week, I think, for Hillary Clinton. The Washington Post is exposing her. And then we've got even Robert Mueller going after Fredo Podesta. That's what Sean Spicer called him. He said, understand, this guy is just Fredo, okay, as part of the organized crime family. But what's going on, in your opinion?
Okay, a couple of things here. Number one, first, this is the most important issue there is. Let's go through the parties. Global GPS and the DNC and Hillary Rodham Felon, who, by the way, tomorrow turns 70, Madam Oven Mitt, the woman who cloned the Mao jacket and bunker gear tomorrow, and as a sign of solidarity, David, if you could, tomorrow, whenever I meet people, rather than say, how about Hillary, I'm just going to do this.
Give them the
Angelo Bruno, the night she went into those non-seizure.
Oh, yeah, the balloon thing. Yes, the balloon thing,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, no, I wasn't. It's also Angelo Bruno, remember from the Philly mob. Anyway, so here we go.
But, you know, the problem with that, Lionel, is that you can't make one eye move in a different direction like she can.
Want to bet? You sure about that?
There you go. Oh, they're going different directions.
Okay. Now that I'm gone. Now, Global GPS works with DNC and Hillary Clinton, and this is the way it is, with this kind of murky, cloudy Christopher Steele MI6 spook wannabe from British Intel, along with Mark Elias from Perkins Coie. Here we go. There we go. Whoa! That's a balloon! Whoa! I'm sorry. That looks like, you know, last time I did that, it was a proctologist with a hangnail, but I died. But anyway, so we have all of these people together. Now, here is the deal. You have right now these folks dealing, theoretically, with the dread and horrid Russians to buy this. And David, one of the greatest examples of making you-know-what or chicken salad out of whatever is to take a scurrilous, libelous, baseless group of Eurolagnic fantasies and call it a dossier.
Yeah, that's right.
A dossier. When was the last
instant credibility?
Yeah, anybody who's ever heard of anything, a dossier. This is. They didn't pay for just somebody's thoughts and make believe. It's a dossier, and we're using this over. It's like the word au pair years ago. Remember the shaken baby case? We were au-paired to death for like a month. Okay, here.
But you know, Lionel, if you're going to spend millions of dollars, you don't want to just get a report. You want a dossier for those millions of dollars.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you don't want that. Right, exactly. Do you want a streetwalker, a hooker, or an escort? Okay, fine. Now, but here is the language. And I put this up, and this is the towards the end, this quote from the Washington Post. After the election, stop right there. After all was said and done and she lost, the FBI agreed to pay Steele, Remington Steele, the MI6, you know, British spook. The FBI agreed to pay Steele to continue gathering intelligence. Again, not intelligence, intel, but the Bureau pulled out of the arrangement after Steele was publicly identified. Why is my and your and our, that's it. Why is it, go down a little bit more, after the election, towards the end, you'll see it, and there it is, the FBI agreed to pay Steele Why are they paying Steele anything? Paying him? I mean, it's there at the bottom. You're paying him for what? Comey, Mueller are paying this person? So we've got Hillary. And what do you expect from Hillary? The DNC, I got it. I understand this. Elias, okay. And by the way, if there isn't any kind of a bar, any kind of ethical consideration over a legitimate law firm engaging in purchasing this tawdry, basically blackmailable dossier information. Now, David, go back a little bit, because I know we're going to run out of time, because this goes crazy. I know you're trying to find this. I've got your team. They're going crazy. It's at the end of it. It says after the election, comma. Look for after the election, comma, the FBI agreed to pay Steele. That's the most important. That, I'm gonna, what?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Nobody's going to touch Hillary Clinton. Look, I love Fox News and I love Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, but every night they're saying, tonight, Hillary, Uranium One. Tonight, yeah. Hillary, nothing. You mean to tell me Sean can't pick up the phone and say, Donald, Mr. President, for God's sakes, would you tell Sessions to disqualify some? Are we going to do something with this? What is it? Somebody, before I die, before that day, what, does she have pictures of somebody? There we go. After the election, the FBI agreed to pay Steele to continue gathering intelligence about Trump and Russia. This is the election collusion.
Yes.
This is what they're talking about. We did it. It's not the Russians. And who are these Russians? It's like, you know what? I was on the phone this morning. I'm going to call them Texans. I'm dealing with them Texans at 11:30. What is this Texans? Who are these Russians? Now,
I think that's an important point that you just made there. And that is that the collusion was going on between the establishment Republicans, between the establishment Democrats, and with the establishment, the FBI. I mean, that was the real collusion. And earlier, it was in the Washington Post report. They're talking about how at the very beginning, it was funded by Republicans during the primary season. They had some fantasy information about business dealings with Donald Trump and the Russians. Then when he won the primary, they go to Hillary and the DNC and they start paying them for their sexual perversion version. And then after the election, it's the FBI and John McCain who are trying to collude together to take down Trump. I mean, that's the progression. And two of those four are Republicans.
So why is the FBI? Look, I understand they deal with people like Sammy the Bull, and they have confidential informants, and I understand that. But to think that they are paying their control. Why? Why are you doing this with somebody whose soul, who has been compromised by basically by being, in essence, a political operative? Now, David, let me go back to something. Remember how these things go. Benghazi.
Well, you know what? Hold that thought, because we got to come up to a commercial break. We're talking to Lionel, and we got a hard break here, Lionel, as you know. And we're going to be right back, because the real collusion that nobody is talking about is the collusion between the establishment Republicans, the establishment Democrats, and the FBI on this dirty dossier. Fictitious from get-go. And, of course, it was the Republicans who made it about business. The Democrats made it about sex. And then the FBI tried to use both of those to try to take down Donald Trump. That's the real story here. We'll be right back with Lionel. I'm David Knight. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Lionel. Of course, you can find him on Twitter, Lionel Media. Also on YouTube, Lionel Nation, and his website, lionelmedia.com. We were just talking about what's going on with Hillary Clinton. Looks like the establishment is cutting this head off the Hydra, because the Washington Post has exposed her. But as Lionel was talking about this, it's kind of interesting that we've had the FBI at the center of so many of these controversies. You know, with Uranium One, they were investigating what was going on with these people, but then they shut that up and they actually threatened the individual who was going to talk about that during the election. They threatened him with jail or worse to keep him quiet. And now all of this information is coming out. Of course, we'd heard that the FBI was trying to fund this investigation by Fusion GPS, and of course they were. This is kind of like a bad script, Lionel, where you've got all these different rewrites by all these different script writers. You know, first it was about business, then it became about sex, now it becomes about something entirely different as it passes hands from one anti-Trump group to the other. But they're all part of the establishment cabal, aren't they? You've got the Democrats, Republicans, the FBI, they're all part of this.
And we're, of course, we're the conspiracy theorists. In fact, I tell people, welcome to the conspiratorium. This is the conspiratorium clerisy. Let me just repeat a couple of things here. Number one, I am, David, literally, I am losing my mind trying to keep track of stuff to remind people. You know, Benghazi, remember that years ago, gave us email, gave us email gate, and email gate gave us server gate, and server gate gave us Wiener gate. And Wienergate gave us the sideline Pizzagate. That was a bit, they jumped the gun on that one. But the underlying subject matter is not going anywhere. And now we have this. Then we have Hillary, who, by the way, let me ask you this. David, it's been asked before. How many rapists and convicted and identified sex perverts and defendants do you know? I'm a... lawyer, and I don't know that many. Hillary Clinton has Bill, Harvey Weinstein, Wiener.
Yeah.
I mean, this is now, and also, isn't it interesting that Donald Trump, who is the notorious, famed germaphobe, is involving himself in Urolagnia and waterworks in a Russian Motel 6? Look, I mean, none of this makes sense. But here's the deal also. The next time somebody comes after you, David, let's say the FBI comes and says, Knight, yeah, we're going to talk to you, FBI. Oh, you want my help? Yes. How much are you going to pay me? How much are you going to what? Pay me. Hey, no. We subpoena. No, we're the FBI. But if you're Steele and you're Fusion GPS, no, you're paid. You're paid by this. Now, what I want to know, David, listen,
or if you're Hillary and they come in and say, we want to talk to you, you say, no, I don't think so. Go away.
Right. And Hillary says, well, I told you maybe you're not going to ask me under oath. You're not going to take any notes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll answer it. I'm not really sure. I mean, this is beyond anything. But here is the bottom line. This is where you and your indefatigable work and Alex and what you do. And I never miss this. Daily. I'm not just saying it because you're here, though it adds tremendous weight to the severity of my sincerity. But what I'm saying is that this is the tip of the spear. And as much as we all love Fox, I say this again. What are you going to do about this? Yes. You keep haunting us every day with, oh, we've got this. You've got a pipeline. How many people have had the president, well, Alex did, on the phone? You mean to tell me you can't say, can you leave me a special number? We put together all of this stuff about Uranium One. What's going to come of this? Unless it's at that level, Hillary says, you don't know how this works, do you? You think that I'm on the same justice tier as you? Are you kidding me? Where have you been? So because I can't figure any of this out. Now, in the meantime, you have the mainstream media, and there's something happening here. They're cracking because this is the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post. This is a Washington Post story. They're giving in. They're realizing.
And you got the situation with Mueller, who was a bagman for the uranium stuff, and now he's all of a sudden, I'm going to investigate the brother of one of the mafia dons here, you know, John Podesta's brother. I'm going to take a look at Fredo, as Sean Spicer called him. So these things have happened just within the last 24 hours or so. You've had Robert Mueller say, I'm going to go after Podesta's brother, and you got the Washington Post exposing stuff about Hillary Clinton. Should point out, something is really changing here. I think they're trying to do damage control, don't you?
And let me tell you something. If you don't know, those in our generation know the Shinola joke and how sometimes things can lose their luster. Remember when we were kids, they came out with a diet candy called AIDS? Remember that one? That wasn't a big seller for obvious reasons. Well, when you mentioned today Podesta's brother, do you know what people in the conspiratorium say? Wait a minute. They got him? Well, no, it's something else. The name Podesta is like Typhoid Mary. And the problem is, mm-hmm. I have to deal with people, and I'm sure you're the same way. People that I know in the business here in New York, in the bubble, people in big media, I have to sit there and say, no, you don't understand. This is how this worked out, because they work in this piecemeal bottom line world. But here is what everybody should take away from this. There is no more information that you can possibly present against Hillary. And by the way, like many people, including my friend Charles Ortel and others, have put together involving the Clinton Foundation, Clinton Global Initiative, Clinton Health Access Initiative, the monies that never went to Haiti, all of this, that fraud, not to mention whatever happened with Wiener's laptops, whatever happened. Servergate is just forgotten. It's not. Yeah. They just look at you and they blink, and then you have the FBI or the Congress actually saying, now, wait a minute. We're wondering why Comey decided to basically to give Hillary a passing grade before the evidence was even culled. And I'm thinking, where the hell have you been? We've known this. Did you just realize this? We have been screaming, but never forget. And I know this sounds really kind of highfalutin, but David, we are this revolution, this truth war. We're like special forces. We're not going away. Yeah. See, they think Las Vegas is over. They actually think, honestly, that, well, took care of that. Really? Oh, I don't think so. Because we're having what we're doing right now, David, this is almost like an independent citizen or civilian grand jury. This is
that's exactly what it is. Yes.
And this is like the Russell Tribunal in the 60s of post Vietnam. And what's happening is that we know this. Hillary Clinton has lived in this inertia bubble where she lives in her own. She has her own gravity, her own sense of up and down. This untouchable. Anybody else that would have said, you're going to get out of town. You're destroying us. She's destroying, because let me ask you this. As we approach November, David, for $25,000 and a new car, what is the Republican, the GOP, or excuse me, the DNC platform? What is the liberal progressive?
Yeah, they don't have one. Chuck Schumer is trying to get them to focus on economics, but they're still on the identity politics.
All we've got is Cowboy Bob there. Somebody with the cowboy hat. You got the cowpoke. You got the lady.
The rhinestone cowgirl.
Yeah, the rhinestone cowgirl. this incoherent babbling, and you have their version of this. So help me God, because I get these all the time on an email list and stuff. Colbert blasts Trump. Trevor Noah says, what the heck does that mean? Imagine when we were kids, Alan Seuss, let's Nixon have it. The Smothers Brothers attack Vietnam. That's not news. There's nothing there.
And that's right. And you would think these late night comedians would go after the Rhinestone Cowgirl. I mean, that is a target rich environment, but they just leave her alone.
You know, she probably said, listen, I don't want to wear this hat. No, you have to. Maxine's got the wig. You got to wear the hat. I don't want to wear the hat. I look like a fool. Wear the hat. Now, you've got Sheriff Clark. I like to see Sheriff Clark and this one as some kind of an OK Corral hat off or something. I mean, what is this? But here's what's going on. While we laugh, the world is still in complete conflagration. And what we're talking about is nothing. We're actually talking about, in some respects, somebody, either the shadow government, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, they may be saying, Hillary, thank you for this. You're taking the heat because we're able to continue this calamity.
That's right. That's right. And it's very interesting to see what's going on. And, of course, it's not just Hillary, but we've got the establishment Republicans who are bailing left and right rather than run for reelection. What are they afraid we're going to find out? Maybe they're part of this cover-up because it is bipartisan and it involves the FBI. Thank you so much for joining us, Lionel. That's the conclusion of our show. And you can find him, Lionel Media, on Twitter as well as LionelMedia.com. And you can find him on YouTube at Lionel Nation.